In photos of the couple in old age, you notice they tend to be as close together as possible, standing or sitting with their bodies touching or their chairs pulled close together. Often she's laughing. She was the wife of a composer, and her name was actually Harmony. Harmony Twitchell Ives. Over and over, people who knew her said her name describes her, Harmony. It described her extraordinary marriage, too. Her father, the Reverend Joseph Twitchell, had been the beloved pastor of a Hartford church and best friends with one of his parishioners, Mark Twain. Young Harmony Twitchell knew this family friend as Uncle Mark. Her husband, Charles Ives, would be modestly famous as well in his time as an innovative executive in the life insurance business. For nearly two decades, Harmony was most of the audience for the stacks of music Charlie was writing nights and weekends. When he played it to professional musicians, nearly every one of them assured him that his music, and probably he himself, were both crazy. Harmony fell for Charlie Ives because he was attractive and funny, a rising star in business, and he had a heart of gold. But his music captured her, too. Harmony had grown up with Mark Twain and other literary figures as part of the family. She knew a genius when she saw one, so she understood that that's what Charlie was. And if for many years her husband could find no listeners outside the house, Harmony was enough for him. Harmony Twitchell first met Charles Ives when he was a student at Yale. She was the sister of his best friend. Their courtship didn't begin till years later. Maybe Charlie was scared of her. In her teens, Harmony had been called the most beautiful girl in Hartford, and she'd become a busy settlement house nurse working with the poor. She sang, wrote poetry, and there was always a swarm of men around her. But slowly, a Victorian courtship began to take shape between them. She sent Charlie poems, most of them love poems in disguise, and he set some of them to music. Autumn was her finest lyric and one of his most beautiful songs. There came the day when Charlie sat Harmony down and played her some of his real music, the revolutionary work that someday would earn him a place in history, but for most of his creative life earned him more ridicule than anything else. In 1906, his music was incomprehensible to everybody but its composer. One of the pieces he played Harmony that year was his portrait of a city, Central Park in the Dark. Harmony understood it. Maybe she loved Charlie's music, no matter how strange, because to her it was just Charlie, just like him. Comic and profound, meditative and explosive, simple and complicated, mystical and mischievous, and sometimes all of those things at once. It took them two excruciating years to declare their love openly. During that time, Charlie was anxious. His health was shaky. He was struggling to get a toehold in business. His music, for all its wild imagination, was heading in no particular direction. When they finally spoke from the heart, alone on a country road in Connecticut, it was first love and first grand passion for both of them. For the rest of their lives together, that mutual and insatiable devotion would never change. But they were idealists and believers and Victorians, and so they waited a proper interval before tying the knot. As they waited, they contemplated their love. Harmony's part of the dialogue survives in some of the most ecstatic and beautiful love letters of modern times.
Charlie, what you see in me that is admirable to you is only what the power of loving has done. This flame of love, and I see now why it's called that, is the most purifying and illuminating thing in this world or any world.
Between them, a philosophy took shape, or rather, a kind of theology. Harmony encouraged Charlie to return to his roots in his music, to write out of his Yankee small-town experience of bands and hymns and the transcendentalism of Emerson and Thoreau. She had never been particularly serious about writing poetry, but she was serious about Charlie's work.
I think, as you say, that living our lives for each other and for those with whom we come in contact is the best and most beautiful way of expressing our love. But to put it too into a concrete form of music or words would be a wonderful happiness. I think you will, and that will be doing it for both of us, my darling.
Finally, they arrived at a private epiphany.
My darling, nearer and dearer to me than anything, I feel your love around me is the crown of my life. What is stronger and greater than love is that love, and you are the revelation of God to me. The comfort of a beautiful expression of our love in music or words is that it would let people see in a concrete form the beauty of it and share, if but for a moment, the heaven we know.
That was the vision, revealed to both of them, of what Ives had been aiming for in all those frustrating years of scribbling on paper, all that bold, fascinating, but never quite focused music. Their love, like all true human love, was a parcel of divine love. His music would be their way of spreading that love into the world. Charles and Harmony Ives were married by her father in June 1908. The next month, they took a second honeymoon in the village of Stockbridge, Massachusetts. As they walked along the Housatonic River in the rapture of early summer and new marriage, they heard a familiar old hymn floating across the water from a nearby church. When they got home, Harmony saw Charlie writing something down. He was trying to get into music that moment. The murmuring water and the trees, the hymn drifting through them, and the revelation of human and divine love penetrating all of it. He had started the first work of his maturity, the Housatonic at Stockbridge. I suppose the devotion of Charlie and Harmony Ives seems out of date these days. The current model, even in romance, appears to be a sort of noble independence. Maybe that's a lonely ideal. Many of us are hoping for the same thing that Victorian couples were, that we're lucky enough to find the person we need. Harmony Twitchell came from a family of ministers and needed to find not only fulfillment in a husband, but in a higher spiritual calling and collaboration. Charles Ives needed that too, but maybe even more, he just needed somebody he admired to admire him, to believe in him as an artist, because for a long time, hardly anybody else did. For both of them, that was fulfillment, their own transcendent harmony.